Okay, well, welcome back. This is Alex Barron with Financial Freedom and Success Institute, and we're going to be wrapping up here the last lesson for today, which is for the Financial Freedom Seminar. And this one is called The Formula to Get Out of Debt ASAP. How many of you would like to learn how to get out of debt in record time? Awesome. So that's what we're going to talk about. And to do this, we're going to go back to a story that we read at the beginning of today, which was called The Camel Trader. You guys remember The Camel Trader? How did he get himself into trouble? By getting into debt, right? And eventually he had an opportunity to escape slavery, but he had to come back with one purpose in mind. And that purpose was to face his creditors, pay off his debt, and get his respect back, right? So there was one key question he was asking himself. He said, do I have the soul of a slave or the soul of a free man? And he realized that in order to become debt-free, he had to take the first step. That first step was making the decision to become financially free, right? Doesn't matter how slow you move. The point is, if you take that first step, you're already one step closer, right? Once you take that step, you take the second step, you take the third step. I always tell people, if you want to achieve any goal in life, if you advance 1% in the direction of your dreams, guess what? That's one step closer you are every day. Before you know it, your dream seems very attainable. So, slaves say, what can I do? I'm a victim, right? They want other people to take care of them. The main thing that you have to realize, nobody's going to come and save you. The government isn't here to help you out. The best hand, like Peter Daniel says, that's going to come to your aid, guess where it is? Right here at the end of your arm, right? You have to pick yourself up. You have to earn your own self-respect. You have to be responsible for yourself. Now, before you borrow money, there's a couple of things you should ask yourself. First of all, the cost to borrow, is it lower than the economic benefit I'm going to get from borrowing this money? Or put it another way, am I going to make a profit by borrowing this money? If the answer is yes, then maybe it's okay to borrow. If the answer is no, then definitely don't borrow. For example, if you go and you spend $100 to go entertain yourself with a credit card, what's the economic benefit to doing that? There's nothing, so don't do it. Don't use a credit card for that. Second, you have to have a guaranteed way to repay the money if something goes wrong. Why do banks lend on real estate? Because it's secure. In case you can't make the payments, guess what they're going to do? They're going to take back the property and pay themselves back the loan that they lent you, right? Now, are they going to lend you 100%? Typically not. They're going to ask you to put down some down payment. The next question you got to ask yourself is, do my spouse and I have unity about taking on this debt? Before you take on a debt, make sure you consult with your wife or your husband and make sure you guys are both on the same step, same mind. The third question you got to ask yourself is, do I have spiritual peace to take on this debt? If you're feeling uneasy about it, then don't do it. There's probably something that your spirit is trying to tell you. And lastly, ask yourself, what personal goals or values am I meeting with this debt that cannot be met in any other way? Is taking on debt really the only way you can solve this problem? So those are some of the questions you got to ask yourself before you get into debt. Now, there's what I call four bad types of debt. The first one is pretty easy. It's a credit card. Usually credit cards have the highest rate of interest and are very tough to pay off. The next one is a consumer debt. For example, when you go to a furniture store or a car store, they usually lend you money for that. The third kind of bad debt is a mortgage on your home, right? A lot of people tell you don't pay off your mortgage because you get a tax break. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, but no, yes, you should pay off your mortgage. And number four is investment opportunity. What does that mean? It means that some friend is going to approach and say, hey, you know, I have this great idea. It's a great opportunity. I think you should invest in it. Well, there's a couple of things you should do before you invest in your friend's great idea. First of all, ask him to explain it to you. And if you can explain it to your wife or your husband and they can understand it, that's great. If you can't explain to them how your opportunity makes money or they don't agree with it, then don't do it. A lot of people lose money because they get all caught up. They talk to some fast talker, talks them out of their money. Now, there's three types of debt that I put under quotes, good debt. I don't know if there really is such a thing as good debt, but I guess there could be debt that at times could potentially benefit you. For example, to start a business, sometimes it's okay to borrow money from a bank or from some other person, but you have to make sure that you really know what you're doing and that you have a plan to pay it off very quickly. Now, there's usually two types of debt that you can take on in a business. There's what's called a term debt, which means they give you a fixed number of years and a fixed interest rate, and what's called a line of credit. And the line of credit, they can basically make it more flexible, but the interest rate might also go up over time. There's also what's called investment debt. Some people like to borrow money to go invest. That can be dangerous. It can go both ways. If you make money, it can amplify your gains. If you lose money, it can multiply your losses. So you have to be careful with that. In real estate debt, a lot of people like to invest in real estate. They're saying with OPM, right? Other people's money. But what I would tell you is, I'm an expert in the housing market, and I saw close to 10 million people lose a house in the last real estate downturn because they were messing around with other people's money. So just because you can borrow money doesn't necessarily mean that you should. Now, one thing I learned from Peter Daniels is he said, the good policy is get out of debt and stay out, right? He says, the wicked borroweth and they pay not again, but the righteous shows mercy. A lot of people, you probably run into some people like this, they ask you for money, they say, I promise I'm going to give it back to you, and yet they never pay you back. The Bible says that those people lack integrity. In a sense, they're dishonest, right? They're crooks. If you owe people money, one of the most courageous things you can do is go face up to that person and say, you know what, I'm sorry I haven't paid you back. I'm going to make a plan, even if I have to pay you a dollar a month, whatever it takes, but I'm going to start to lower that debt. A lot of people make excuses, but in reality, it's that they don't really have willingness in their heart to pay the money back. But you have to pay back what you borrowed. Compound interest. What is compound interest? Well, compound is something that grows over time. Anybody recognize who this man is? The most intelligent man in recent times, right? And what did Einstein say about compound interest? He said, compound interest is the greatest mathematical discovery of our time. This other guy, maybe you haven't heard of him, Mayer Rothschild. He was part of the family that control all the world banks. What did he say? Compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. Well, no kidding. That's how banks make all of their money, right? I like what this guy says. Don't let interest work against you. If you do, there's no chance of success in life as far as money is concerned. And I also like what the Motley Fool says. He says, those who understand compound interest are going to collect it. Those who don't are going to be the ones who are doomed to pay it. All right, so now I'm going to show you exactly how banks make their money and how you can turn this around once you understand this against them. And I'm going to explain this to you here with this little drawing. Okay, so right here, we have a $100,000 debt, right? And essentially, let's say that this debt is for 30 years. It's to purchase a house. And let's say they gave you a 7% interest rate. 7% into 12 months is a 0.58% interest rate, which doesn't sound like a lot of money. And usually the banks are going to tell you, here's your minimum payment that you got to pay. In this case, they said you got to pay $665 a month. So here's how the math works. $100,000 times 0.58% a month is how much money in 1 month? $583, right? So $100,000 plus $583 is how much? $100,583, okay? You make your minimum payment, $665. So what's your debt now after 1 month? $99,918. So of that $583, of that $665, how much went to the bank? $583. This is their profit. How much went to pay down your loan? $81.97. So of your $665, $81.97, basically that's how much your debt went down by, and the bank made a profit of $583. So after 1 month of this debt, you now owe $99.918. Okay, let's repeat this process the next month. You start off with a debt of $99,918. You make your minimum payment of $665. Of this amount, they're going to charge you this amount times 0.58%, which is $582.86. After you make your minimum payment, now your debt goes down to how much? Goes down by $82.45, and you just paid the bank another $582.86 of profit. So after 2 months, you've paid down the whopping sum of $164 on your $100,000 debt. If you keep going down this process after 12 months, how much money have you paid? You've paid almost $7,000. And of that $7,000, $8,000, and of that $8,000, $7,000 went to the bank as a profit, and $1,000 went down to your debt. So after 1 year, you just dropped your debt from $100,000 to $99,000. So is it any surprise why banks are the most profitable businesses in the world? And why people are always stuck in debt? We're going to get back to this in just a minute, but if you continue this process year after year after year, you're going to end up paying about 2 to 3 times the amount that you borrowed. That $100,000 home is really going to cost you $250,000 when you're all said and done paying for it. So this is what your debt looks like. Your debt goes down really slowly over the first 5 years, first 10 years, first 15 years. After 15 years, you still owe $75,000. So you've only paid down 25% even though you've already spent 15 years. Now, what do most people typically do sometime after year 5 or 10? They go buy another house, right? So they take on a bigger debt and they start all over again. So they're always in debt. So this chart shows you how much we've paid down towards the principal. So the true cost of a mortgage is what? It says it's not just what you borrowed, but it's also all the amount of interest that you're going to shift from yourself to the bank. That means that about 2/3 of the amount that you pay is going to end up going to the bank as profit, as interest. And that's the amount of money that we want to put into back into your pocket. So as this says, you know, if you borrow $250,000 with a $200,000 mortgage, you might end up paying close to 3 times that amount of money. That's $500,000 in interest that you have to earn. That's a lot of work, and that's a lot of money going to banks. I would rather let you figure out how to become your own bank tomorrow and rather put all that money back into your pocket. Now, some people say, no, you shouldn't pay off your mortgage because for every dollar you pay in interest, the government's going to give you a tax break, maybe 20 cents, in this case, 28 cents. Well, that's like saying if you give a dollar to the bank, the government's going to give you a quarter. You know what? I'd rather give a quarter to the government and keep the dollar for myself. All right. When it comes to credit cards, a lot of people make a mistake and they pay the minimum payment. When you make the minimum payment on all these credit cards, guess what? They're never going to go away, right? It's kind of like putting yourself into prison, except that you're the one that has the key, but you're not using it to get out. The proper way to use a credit card is to go ahead and pay it off completely at the end of every month. before the due date. If you reach a point where you can't pay off your credit card completely, the first thing you should do is grab your scissors and cut it up and stop using it, because otherwise it's going to start working against you. So the key to financial freedom is to basically become debt-free. You have to turn this equation around on against the banks, otherwise you're not going to be able to make it happen. You have to make it a priority to become debt-free, and you have to make it the top priority if you want to have a success at shortcutting the banks. So I'm going to give you a formula for how to get out of debt, which comes from Ron Blue. Number one, stop going into debt. In other words, don't keep charging that credit card. Don't keep acquiring new things that are going to get you more into debt. And number two, start a repayment plan. I know it sounds simple, but it really isn't that complicated, except that a lot of people, they're so used to their habit of getting into debt that they continuously keep getting more and more themselves into a deeper hole. So your goal has to be to eliminate all of the debts and begin building towards a stable economic future. And you do this by not wasting money on interest and not wasting money on things that you don't need. So here's kind of the goal of where we're going to go with this. Even if you're deep in debt and you have a negative net worth, you have to set a goal to get out. You have to have the discipline to start paying the money back, and you're going to start to see results until at last you can celebrate financial freedom. It's going to take a little bit of time, but once you see the progress, you're going to see how this starts to snowball, and this in turn is going to motivate you. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to read how this guy Davis here got out of debt when he came back from Syria. And from this, we're going to read the next lesson, which is the clay tablets from Babylon. Okay. All right. Can you help us read? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll read the intro and then you read the tablets. Just to set this up, basically, you guys know Babylon existed many, many years ago, thousands of years ago. Well, they found these clay tablets. These guys used to write their wisdom on there. And some of these tablets came to some professors of archaeology. And when they found them, they sent them to this one guy who could interpret what they said. So here's what I'm going to read to you, the introduction. It says, "My dear professor, the five clay tablets from your recent excavation in the ruins of Babylon arrived on the same boat with your letter. I have been fascinated to no end and have spent many pleasant hours translating their inscriptions. I should have answered your letter at once, but delayed until I could complete the translations which are attached. The tablets arrived without damage, thanks to your careful use of preservatives and excellent packaging. You will be astonished, as we were in the laboratory, at the story they relate. One expects a dim and distant past to speak of romance and adventure, you know, Arabian Nights sort of thing, when instead it discloses the problem of a person named Abbasir to pay off his debts. One realizes that the conditions in this old world have not changed as much in 5,000 years as one might expect. It's odd, you know, Professor, but these old inscriptions rather rage me, as the students say. Being a college professor, I'm supposed to be a thinking man, being possessing of a working knowledge on most subjects. Yet here comes this old chap out of dust-covered ruins of Babylon to offer a way I had never heard of to pay off my debts and at the same time acquire gold to jingle in my wallet. Pleasant thought, I say, and interesting to prove whether it will work as well nowadays as it did in old Babylon. Mrs. Shrewsbury and I, or myself, are planning to try out this plan upon our own affairs, which could be much improved. Wishing to you the best of luck in your worthy undertaking and awaiting eagerly upon another opportunity to assist, yours truly, Alfred Shrewsbury, Department of Archaeology." So now we're going to read what's inside these tablets. All right.
"Now when the moon become full, I, Debesar, who am but recently returned from slavery in Syria, with the determination to pay my many just debts and become a man of means and worthy of respect in my native city of Babylon. do here engrave upon this the clay a permanent record of my affairs to guide and assist me in carrying through my high desires. Under the wise advice of the good friend Maiton, the gold lender, I am determined to follow an exact plan that would that he do say will lead any honorable man out of debt into means and self-respect. The plan includes three purposes, which are my hope and desire. First, the plan doeth provide for my future prosperity. Therefore, one-tenth of all I've earned should be set aside at my own keep. For Matron speaketh wisely when he says, the man who keep in his purse both gold and silver that he need not spend is good to his family and loyal to his king. The man who has but a few copper in his purse is indifferent to his family and indifferent to his king. But the man who has nothing in his purse is unkind to his family and is disloyal to his king, for his own heart is bitter. Therefore, the man who wishes to achieve must have coin that he may keep his jingle in his pocket, in his purse, that he have in his heart love for his family and loyalty to his king. Second, the plan doeth provide that one shall support the clothes my good wife who has returned to me with loyalty from the house of her father. For Maiton doeth said that to take good care of a faithful wife putteth self-respect into her heart, into the heart of a man, and addeth strength and determination to his purpose. Therefore, seven-tenths of all I earn shall be, seven-tenths of all I earn shall be used to provide a home, clothing, clothes to wear, food to eat, with a bit extra to spend, that our life be not lacking in pleasure and enjoyment. But he do further enjoin the greatest care that we spend not greater than seven-tenths of what I've earned for the worthy purposes. Therefore, loath the success of the plan. I must live upon this portion and never use more nor buy what I may not pay for out of that portion.
Okay, so if we review what he said so far, number one, he says he's going to pay himself what part? First or second?
First.
First, how much? 10%. Second, he's going to live with how much for him and his family? 70%. Okay. Let's keep reading. Tablet number two.
Third, the plan doeth provide that out of my earnings, my debt shall be paid. Therefore, each time the moon is full, two-tenths of all I have earned shall be divided honorably and fairly among those who have trusted me and to whom I am in debt. Thus, in due time, will all my indebtedness be surely paid. Therefore, do I here engrave the name of every man to whom I am in debt to honor amount, honest amount of my debt.
Okay.
And should we read that?
Just a few if you want.
Okay. Well, Froud the cloth weaver, 2 silver, 6 copper. Sanjar the couch maker, 1 silver. Admar, my friend, 3 silver, 1 copper. Zankar, my friend, 4 silver, 7 copper. Azmar, my friend, 1 silver, 3 copper. And therefore, and if we go down and say, from here on, this integrated cannot be deciphered.
Okay. So what did he do? He created a list, right? He's going to start paying his debt with the other 20%. And the first thing that he did is he created a list. What did he do? He put the name, right, of the people he owes, and the dollar amount. Didn't say there, but the interest rate, right? And he just made a list. 1, 2, 3, 4, and on and on and on. You have to kind of face the facts. You have to become, face reality, right? What are we looking at? How much money do I really owe? Clay number three, tablet number three.
To these creditors, do I owe in total 119 pieces of silver, 141 pieces of copper, and because I did owe these sums and saw no way to repay, in my folly I did permit my wife to return to her father and did leave my native city and seek easy wealth elsewhere, only to find disaster and to see myself sold into a denigration of slavery. Now that Mathon doeth show me how I can repay my debts in small amounts of my earning, do I realize the greatest extent of my folly is running away from the results of my extravagance.
Okay.
Therefore, I have visited my creditors and explained to them that I have no resources which to pay. Except my ability to earn, and I intend to apply 2/10 of all I earn upon my indebtedness evenly and honestly. This much can I pay, but no more. Therefore, if they be patient in time, my obligation will be paid in full. Atmar, whom I thought was my best friend, reviled me bitterly, and I left him in humiliation. Berikjark, the farmer, pleaded that I pay him first, as he did his badly needed help. Alkahar, the house owner, was indeed disagreeable and insisted that he would make me trouble unless I did soon settle in full with him.
Okay, so what are we seeing here? That once he made his list and once he went to talk to all these people, were they all really happy to see him?
No.
Not really. No. They were pretty upset, right? And they were taking different attitudes, but they were all saying, hey, pay me right away. But he stood his ground and he said, sorry, I got a plan and I'm going to stick with the plan. If you want to be part of the plan, that's great. And if you don't, I can't really do anything more, right? So he was going to pay them 20% of his money. All right, let's see what else happened.
All the rest willingly accept my proposal. Therefore, am I more determined than ever to carry through, being convinced that it is easier to pay one just debt than to avoid them. Even though I cannot meet the needs and demands of a few of my creditors, I would deal impartially with all.
So what he's saying is you have to be fair to all these guys, right? All right, tablet number four.
Again, the moon shines full. I have worked hard with a free mind. My good wife has supported my intention to pay my creditor. Because of our wise determination, I have earned during the past moon, buying camels of sound wind and good legs for Nebtor. The sum of 19 pieces of silver. This I have divided according to the plan. 1/10 have I set aside to keep as my own. 7/10 I divided with a good wife to pay for our living. And 2/10 have I divided among my creditors as evenly as could be done in copper.
Okay. So after 1 month, in the first month he set his plan, right? After 1 month of working, what's he doing? He's following the plan, paying himself 10%, living with 70%, and paying down 20% amongst all his creditors, right? It says here,
he said, I did not see Admar, but left it with his wife. Barikjah was so pleased, he would kiss my hand. Old Akarad alone was grouchy and said, I must pay faster. To which I replied that if I were permitted to be well fed and not worried, that alone would enable me to pay faster. All the others thanked me and spoke well of my effort. Therefore, at the end of the one moon, my indebtedness is reduced by almost 4 pieces of silver, and I possess almost 2 pieces of silver besides, upon which no man has claim. My heart is lighter than it had been for a long time.
So what's starting to happen? Even after just 1 month, he's already started knocking down his debt. His savings are going up. And what's happening to his self-respect and his peace of mind?
It's coming with time, and he's increasing his wealth
He's improving, right? So he's feeling better about himself. All right. Next month, what happened?
Again, the moonshine fool. I have worked hard, but with poor success. Few camels have I been able to buy. Only 11 pieces of silver have I earned. Nevertheless, my good wife and I have stood by the plan. Even though we had bought no new ringlets or eaten little but herbs, again, I paid ourselves 1/10 of the 11 pieces. While we lived upon 7/10, I was surprised when Admar commended my payment. Even though small, so did Barikjah, and Al flew into a rage. But when I told to give back his portion, he did not wish it. He became reconciled, and the others as well before were content.
So what's starting to happen? Even though he paid these guys less, right, he stuck to the plan. He had to shrink less in his own personal consumption. And these creditors are now starting to change their attitude towards him, right? Not all of them, but many of them are now pretty happy that they're seeing that they're getting their loan paid back. Even this last guy, even though he didn't want the money at the end, he's like, okay, well, I'll take it. Yeah. So let's see what happened the next month.
Again, the moonshine full. And I am greatly rejoiced. I intercepted a fine herd of camels and bought many solid ones. Therefore, my earnings was 42 pieces of silver. This moon, my wife and myself have bought much needed sandals and raiment. Also, we have dined well on meat and fowl. More than 8 pieces of silver we have paid to our creditors. Even Elkhart did not protest.
All right. So now he's starting to accelerate his results, right?
Yes.
All right. So it says here, great is the plan, for it leadeth us out of debt and gives us wealth, which is ours to keep. 3 times the moon has been full since I last carved upon this clay. Each time I paid to myself 1/10 of all I earned. Each time my good wife and I have lived upon 7/10, even though at times it was difficult. Each time have I paid to my creditors 2/10. So he's been going at this for several months now. He says, in my purse I now have 21 pieces of silver that are mine. It marked my head to stand straight upon my shoulders and maketh me proud to walk among my friends. My wife kept well her home and is becomingly gowned. We are so happy to live together. The plan is of untold value. Had it not made an honorable man of an ex-slave. Want to read tablet 5?
Again, the moon shined full, and I remember that it was a long since I carved upon the clay. 12 moons, in truth, have come and gone. But this day, I will not neglect my record, because upon this day, I have paid the last of my debts. This is the day upon which my good wife and my thankful and my thankful self celebrate with great feasting that our determination has been achieved. Many things occur upon my final visit to my creditor that I shall long remember. Atmar begged my forgiveness for his unkind words and said that I was one of all others he most desired for a friend. Old Alcott Cat is not so bad after all, for he said, "Thou wert once a piece of soft clay to be pressed and molded by any hand that touched thee, but now thou art a piece of bronze capable of holding an edge. If thou need silver or gold at any time, come to me. Nor is he the only one who hold me in high regards. Many others speak differently to me. My good wife looked upon me with a light in her eyes, and those make a man have a confidence in himself."
So is there anything better than being debt-free and having your wife happy? Not too many things, right? That's a good life. So he says, "Yet it is the plan that had made my success. It has enabled me to pay all my debts and to jingle both gold and silver in my purse. I do commend it to all who wish to get ahead, for truly if it will enable an ex-slave to pay his debts and have gold in his purse, will it not aid any man to find independence? Nor am I myself finished with it, for I am convinced that if I follow it further, it will make me rich among men." What's going to happen now that he's debt-free with that
20%? Well, it goes into his own personal
life. Into savings now, right?
Yes.
So now, how much is he going to be paying himself?
30%.
That's awesome. Okay, so now we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty with a specific example. How exactly do we get out of debt in a quick amount of time? We just finished reading the story of the man, Dabasir, who was in Syria and in Babylon trying to get out of debt. And what was his formula? Number one, he was going to pay himself 10%. Number two, he was going to live with 70%. And number three, he was going to start paying 20% towards his debt. Right? So the first thing that we see is that he needed a plan to start getting out of debt. And the plan's going to work if you work the plan. Right? You have to follow it. There might be times when it might be a sacrifice to make things happen. But if you're committed to becoming financially free, and if you can see what's on the other side of that sacrifice, you're going to realize that it's worth it. Especially right now when I show you how many thousands and thousands of dollars you can save by committing to this plan, I don't see how you wouldn't commit to it. But anyway, you're going to pay one price or the other. So you're either going to pay the price of financial freedom, are you going to pay the price of maintaining yourself a financial slave to the banks? It really is your choice at the end of the day. So let's go through this plan. Number one, you have to learn how to pay off your debts before you try to save or invest. A lot of people, they try to save money into their 401k, into their IRA. They're trying to put money away into all these things. At the same time, they got a tons of debt. Well, if you guys have ever tried to use a magnifying glass when you were a kid to turn something on fire, what's the secret to doing that? Focus, right? That one word, focus, you got to focus all your efforts into one thing. If you spread it out, if you spread your money out, it's not going to do anything for you. I've seen a lot of people who try to pay off all their debts at the same time. They send this one an extra $50, an extra $100, an extra $75. On each debt, they're throwing a little bit of money around, sprinkling money around. That's a shotgun approach. That's not going to work. We need to be laser-focused, targeted, as far as paying off our debts. So, the way we do this, as I said before, we create a list of all our debts, and we're going to put them in a specific order. Generally, we're going to start off with the ones that either have the lowest balance first, or the ones with the highest interest. But generally, I'm going to end up going for the ones that have the smallest balance first. Why do you think that is?
You can
to the next one, right. Which one am I going to pay off fastest? The one with the small balance or the one with the huge balance? Probably the one with the small balance. I may make some exceptions when I sit down with clients and I go through this, but right now we're going to assume that we're going to go with the one with the smallest balance. Once we pay that one off, we're going to take that cash flow and roll it over to the second one. Once we pay the second one off, we're going to take that cash flow, roll it over to the third one. So right now, we're going to use the power of focus, right? We're going to make minimum payments on all the other debts, no matter how tempting it is to send them a little bit extra money. We're going to collect all that extra money. We're going to just focus it on one debt. Once you've paid that one off, then you're going to focus on the next one. And once that one is off, you focus on the next one and so forth. With sufficient determination, I've seen many people who can become debt-free in 7 years or less. This is basically called the snowball effect, right? So, think of your financial life like this bucket. This bucket has a lot of holes, right? How much water can it hold? Not too much. Why? Because all that water is getting dispersed into many different directions. What are those holes? Those holes are your investments, your IRA, all your debts, all your term life insurance, all these things, right? All these hands who are saying, send me money. Well, we're going to learn to tell them no, because I'm going to focus on paying off one debt. Think about it like this. Those red holes, that's where your money is going right now. And where's your net worth? Where's your water level? Really low. So what do we got to do? We got to start plugging up those holes. And as we plug up the holes, what's going to happen to the water level? It's going to start to go up. At the end of the day, when we finish plugging up all the holes, our water level is going to start going up even faster, right? Have anybody ever seen this movie, The Wizard of Oz? What's the end of the story? How do we kill the big bad witch? We throw water on it, right? That water is what's going to kill that witch. In this case, the witch is our debts, right? So we're going to throw that water. I'm going to show you how. Remember this example I showed you of that debt before? How for every $665, only a very little was going into to help us out? Okay. So I'm going to show you with the same example, with this spreadsheet, how we can make this work on our behalf. And I'm just going to zoom in to this just a little bit more. Actually, that's fine. Okay. So let's assume that we have this debt, and let me just compare one little thing here real quick. $100,000 of debt, $665.30. Okay, so let me just change one thing here. Oh, so that's correct. So this is $100,000 of debt. Okay, here we go. All right, so if we pay the debt exactly as it was planned, how much interest are we going to end up paying by the time we're done? By the time we're done, we're going to end up paying $100,000 back to the bank and $139,500 of interest to the bank. So that's a total payment of $239,509. That's a lot of money if you ask me. Now, if I showed you an investment where you could make a lot of money without taking any risk, would you be interested?
Yeah.
Okay. So check this out. Let's assume you had $100, okay, and you paid it on top of your debt. So in other words, instead of paying $665, which is the minimum payment, let's say you paid an extra $100. What if I told you that $100 essentially just saved you $700? Would that be of interest to you?
Okay.
Have you ever seen an investment where $1 makes $7?
Okay.
So if we look at our chart here with the debt, you may not see it here, but let's zoom in back here in our calculations and let's look a little closer. When did we pay off the debt? We paid it off 2 months earlier than anticipated. So we, instead of paying it off on the, at 360 months, we paid it off here in the 359th month. So what does that tell us? It tells us that if we paid an extra $100, we're going to save $700 and we're going to save a month of payment. So if it's good for 1 month, why don't we do it for a whole year? Right? So here we are. After 12 months, how much have we paid? $1,200 extra, right? How much have we saved? $7,800. Now let's look at how much time did we save. We finished paying off this debt, what, a year early. Do you think if I could save you almost $8,000, you can come up with an extra $100 a month? And if that makes you your mortgage 1 year, finish 1 year sooner? Okay, well, what if we keep going and we do it for a second year and a third year? So let's do that and see what happens. So if we keep going and we keep putting in $100 every month, let's see what happens. How much faster could we pay off his debt? We got to focus on this balance. How much do we still owe on this mortgage? 10 years have gone by. 12 years, 13 years. I mean, that's a long time. Mm-hmm. But look at what's happening to our debt balance. It's going down. And now we just got to the end. What year are we in? Year 20 in a few months. So what did we save? We saved almost 10 years and we saved $50,000 that you will never have to pay to the bank. So if you look at this chart, instead of the debt going all the way out here, we just saved almost 10 years and we saved $50,000. What do you think you could do with 10 years of your time and $50,000? You could do something nice, right? You could start putting that towards your retirement. So, that's only with $100. Well, if this works with $100, what do you think would happen if we did $200? $200 is basically going to turn this into... Let's just make sure I picked it up everywhere. $200 is going to save us $72,000 and it's going to get us to the end of this debt even faster. Instead of spending 20 years paying it off, now we're just going to spend 16 years. So it just saved us 14 years and $72,000. So how much money do people get back typically under tax returns? Some people get back a few $1,000, right? Let's say at the end of every year, let's say you got back, I don't know, $1,000. Even if it was just $1,000. $1,000 in each other month, we're going to stay with the $200. So, oops, sorry, let me undo. So let's just do what we just did. Sorry. Okay, so let's do this again. So at the end of every year, let's just pretend we're going to do $1,000 from our tax return. Let's see what that does for us. With this spreadsheet, you can really start to model out any kind of scenario that you can think about. It's really up to you what you can do with it. But basically, I've used this to help people get out of debt in a very short period of time. So we're almost there. So there we are. Basically, in about less than 13 years, 14 years, we're debt-free. So as you see, the more money that you can put towards your debt, the more money that you're saving. In this particular case, we're saving $83,000, and we're saving 16 years of time. So imagine what you could do with more and more money in your pocket and more time. So let's go back to our conversation here. So what have we done? What did we learn? Basically, that if you make an extra payment on just one debt, and here I showed the biggest debt, which is the mortgage, but when you do it towards credit cards, you can knock out credit cards within a few months. I'm going to show you another example here to prove that point. But the point here is that you can really get out of debt way, way faster than with most other things you can do. Most people are dabbling in the market, trying to make an extra dollar here. Here you can make a huge return, and you're not taking any risk whatsoever. Here's an example of a personalized plan, and I'm going to show you one from real life, how it works. But basically what we show here is that what we do is we line up the debts for people. And then, for example, this one, we were able to pay it off in 2 months. 2 months later, we paid off a second debt. A couple months later, we paid off the third debt, and so forth. It's just kind of like bowling pins. We just knock them down like dominoes. We knock down one after another after another. If you'd like to book an appointment with us so that we can go through your financial situation, it's pretty simple. You have to bring us a list of all your debts and all your assets so we can help you create a personalized plan. Most clients that we've sat down with are able to pay off all of their credit cards within 1 to 2 years. Most people can pay off their cars within 2 to 3 years, and most people can pay off their houses within 5 to 7 years. The point is that most people can be 100% debt-free and never have to get back into debt in sometimes 7 to 10 years or less. If that's of any interest to you, here's my contact information. Make sure you write it down, you know, so we can book an appointment to help you do this. I believe that it's really worth your time to do this because you're going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Believe me, and you want to put those dollars to work for you down the road. So if you call this number, you send an email here, my assistant will get back to you and we can basically book an appointment to help you look at your debt situation and how we can help you out. There's a small fee involved, but it's really nothing that you're not going to get back 100 times over through the amount of time and interest that you're going to save. Okay, one last thing before we show you the example of how we help somebody get out of debt. You really have to keep watch on your credit score. This is how a lot of the banks qualify you. And when you get out of school, nobody's ever going to ask you about your report card. What are they going to ask you about? Your credit score, right? So it's good to have a good credit score. It's also a good idea not to co-sign for other people. Sometimes people who have a bad credit score, they need somebody else to help sign for them. Well, just think about it. If they have a bad credit score, there's probably a reason why they have a bad credit score. So what's going to happen if you take on their debt, you sign, and you become responsible and they don't pay? Guess who's going to end up paying for their thing? Their car or their whatever, their furniture. You are. So the Bible says, just don't do it. If you don't have an account with creditkarma.com, we recommend that you get one. It shows you what your credit score is for free. We also recommend that you get an account with mint.com. Mint.com is something that helps track all your finances. So those are two good websites to keep track of. And I really recommend them because they're free. They don't cost anything. So the conclusion of this seminar, we're getting to the conclusion, is make a decision, make a determination, make a commitment to become debt-free. I really think that it's worth the peace of mind. I really think that it's worth securing your financial future. And I really think it's worth you enjoying that freedom so that you can then spend your time more productively earning wealth for the kingdom of God and for your family. So hopefully the lessons that we taught you have been helpful in terms of understanding the basic principles of how you do it. This class is meant to be practical so that anybody can basically put it to work in their own life. But if you still need help, you know, call our office and we'll be happy to help you. Our goal is to help, like I said, 1 million people become debt-free in the next 10 years. So we really hope that you'll be one of our success stories. And we'd love to help you and your family get there and, you know, reach your financial freedom. So just to review of what are the next steps that you need to take. First, you need to learn how to live within your means. Spend less than what you earn. You have to learn how to pay yourself first. Open up a separate bank account and put at least 10% into it. Tomorrow, we're going to show you what to do with that 10% if you'd like to become your own bank. But for now, just start that habit. Put that money away. Don't touch it. Don't spend it. With the savings, we're going to show you how to attack the first smallest debt that you have, and in a short period of time you're going to become debt free from that one. Then you're going to start rolling over the cash flow to the second one. I'm going to show you an example right now. Then once you finish paying off the first debt, what's going to happen is you're going to basically start the cycle of freedom working for you. You're going to start the snowball effect, right? Then we'd like to ask you to join the Financial Freedom Alumni Group so that you can share your success with other people and give us your testimonial. And other people are going to give you feedback and they're going to support you through your debt freedom process. Tomorrow, like I said, we're going to show you how to become your own bank, which helps you both protect your family and helps you get out of debt using the same amount of money. The more you pay off your debts, the more that you're going to see an increase in your level of motivation, the more that you're going to see an increase in your cash flow. Learn to invest in yourself. Don't be afraid to invest in your education and your financial education. And work to expand your income. Learn how to make more money and learn how to make money work for you. As you do this and you start to see an acceleration in this process, you're going to start to see also an improvement in your standard of life. And this is what true prosperity is really all about. We have a group on Facebook called Financial Freedom and Success Institute Alumni. We'd really love to have you apply to join. It's free. If you just have seen this video, you've participated, send us a request and we'll add you to that group. It's basically just a group of positive people who've taken the seminar in the past and who definitely would love to, we'd love to stay in touch with you. We send out announcements about future events and future seminars that we'll keep doing. Lastly, we'd like to ask you to give us a review on Facebook. If you've seen this seminar and you really liked it, you know, tell other people about it. Invite your friends to watch it. You know, here at Christian Leaders Institute, they're going to have a copy available for you to watch the review if you haven't seen it, a replay, I'm sorry. So before we go into the question and answer session, I'd just like to show you a quick example of somebody who we sat down with recently. We were able to help them get out of debt. Okay, here we go. So this one was a couple, and I hope you can see it here. I'm going to try to zoom this in a little bit. Okay, this one's in Spanish, so I apologize about that, but I think you'll get the gist of it. So this is a couple. So basically, the husband made $1,200 a month in his regular salary, and the wife made $748 a month. They had a second job, a second income, and he makes an extra $1,179 a month. She makes $194 a month. So in total, they make about $3,300 a month. This is where their expenses are every single month. Rent, they pay $333, cell phone $55, car insurance $233, medical insurance $140, Utilities, $163. Food, $166. Parking, you know, going to the nail shop, water, Spotify, gasoline, a bunch of other stuff. Basically, their total expenses per month are $1,600. Plus, they also have several debts, which we'll talk about in a minute. So let's look at their debt situation. Here's their debt situation. So they've got $2,600 they owe on a car at 4% interest, and this is their minimum payment. It's basically, let's see here. So they owe a car. They got Best Buy credit card for $3,000 at 26%. They got this other city card, $6,000 at 40% interest rate. Capital One, $6,000 at 24% interest rate. This other Banamex card, $4,000 at 26% interest rate. JCPenney, $3,000 at 27% interest rate, and so forth. Altogether, they had $27,000 in debt, and they were making minimum payments of $1,355 a month, which is a very large percentage. Almost over a third of their money was going to make minimum payments on the interest on these debts. So what we did with them is we said, okay, so you guys make about $3,300 a year. You're spending $1,600 in living expenses. You're spending $1,300 on basically on debt repayment. So let's see how much that is. Oops. They're making, let's see, 40% of their income was going towards debts. That's huge. But they were able to save about $387 a month. So I said to them, look, take $300, which is roughly your 10%, and you're going to put, I labeled it blue because I said, when you look at their assets, we made a list of all their assets, and we have it here, right? So they have their car, their checking account. Here's their savings. So I said to them, put the $300 here every month. Once the money's in there, what we're going to do is we're going to line up these cards in such a way that we're going to attack one at a time. We determined that it was best to pay this one off. Now you might say, why that one? Well, in part because their balance was pretty low, but what I also looked at was that their minimum payment was pretty high. So my rationale was, hey, you know what? We got these many months to pay this off. We got 8 months to pay this one off. So why not go after this one? Because once we pay that off in 8 months, we're going to get $335 extra on top of the $300 to start attacking the other debts, right? So we focused all our efforts on that debt. And what we did was we created a timeline right here. So we said, okay, month one, which is May, you're going to take your first car payment where you owe $2,675, right? You're going to make your minimum payment of $334, but we're going to add that $300 savings to it. So at the end of month one, your balance is going to drop from $2,675 to $2,000. At the end of month two, you're going to make your minimum payment plus the $300 of savings. Your debt is going to drop to $1,421. At the end of month three, you're going to make your minimum payment plus $300. Now you're going to owe $791. Basically, by the end of month five, they became debt-free. Instead of 8 months, we shrunk that car debt, became debt-free in 5 months. This month, if you notice, they didn't apply the $300 extra payment. They didn't even have to send the full minimum payment. So what did we do? We took that $300 plus the extra amount that they still had left over, and we sent it over to the next debt, which was this credit card, where they used to owe $3,000. So now that month, the minimum payment for this one was $150. $150 plus what was left over from the other debt, they quickly dropped to $2,155. The next month, we applied the $300 that we were saving, plus the $334 that was coming from the minimum payment last month, plus the minimum payment of $150 here. So in how many months did we knock out that debt? 1, 2, 3. So in 3 more months, how many debts have they paid off now? 2. Originally, that debt was supposed to be sticking around for 28 months. So we shrunk that debt from 28 months to 8 months. So we basically saved them 20 months worth of time. The third debt, they started owing $6,000 on that one, where they had a 40% interest rate. So with that debt, we then took the savings, the $300 savings, plus the $335 minimum payment, plus the $150 minimum payment, plus the $291 that they were already sending in. So we paid that debt off in 6 months. So we already knocked out 3 debts. Right? Then we applied that money, which was $1,075, to the next debt. So we got rid of that one in 4 months. Then we attacked the next debt. We got rid of that one in 3 months. Then we attacked the next debt. That one we paid off in 1 month. So basically, in a matter of essentially 2 years, less than 2 years, we were able to pay off all of their credit cards. These guys didn't own a home, but we've worked with people. So basically, they became debt-free from all their credit cards in 2 months. And now, guess what's going to happen with that $1,300 that they were throwing away, this minimum payment, right? So what is going to happen with this $1,300 plus the $300 of savings? $1,655. Where do you think that money is going to go? And their savings into their bank on yourself. And that account is going to start to grow very, very rapidly, very quickly, all while being debt-free. Then at some point they're going to buy a house, but they're going to use their bank on yourself to basically pay it. So hopefully this helps you guys to kind of understand in a nutshell what we do with people and why we use these concepts. It's not just meant to be a PowerPoint presentation or a pretty concept. This is really helping to change people's lives. And we really hope that it helps you guys, wherever you are in the world, to be able to apply this in your own life. These spreadsheets are available from us if you want to get access to them. As I said, you know, write us an email. Let me put up my contact info here again. And we'd be more than happy to assist you to do this. Are there any questions, either here in the audience or wherever you're watching? Anybody have any questions before we sign off for today?
No.
Okay, well, if there's no questions, I really want to thank you and appreciate your time today. Thanks for investing the time to be with us. Hopefully you have time to go back and review everything that we shared. And like I said, join our Financial Freedom alumni page, you know, get in touch with us, and we'll see you for the next session on how to become your own bank tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.